It's Thursday, the day we read from your emails, and several listeners wrote us about the first part of our series from California on the legacy of the Brown versus Board of Education decision. Listener Arlette Crossland teaches at Garfield High School in Los Angeles, which Claudio Sanchez profiled as an example of a school with a nearly all-Latino enrollment. She writes, "I find it highly irresponsible to use a substitute teacher as the only source for the part of the story dealing with Garfield High School." And she continues, "I find that teaching at a school with a homogeneous population provides a safer and more nurturing environment for my students. These children have enough problems dealing with poverty, gangs, physical, and emotional abuse." Comments in that story from the principal of a charter school that emphasizes Mexican culture and identity angered Scott Billigmeier of Leesburg, Virginia. He writes, "To hear a publicly subsidized school principal talking about the promotion of Mexican culture and the irrelevance of being an American while enjoying the full benefits of living in this country is outrageous. What is so sad is that the story illustrates what was utterly predictable. Multiculturalism and failed immigration policies have served to balkanize our nation." Harold Levine of New York City appreciated Walter Cronkite's recent story about Edward R. Murrow. Cronkite reported on the 50th anniversary of Murrow's See It Now broadcast that took on Senator Joseph McCarthy. Mr. Levine writes, "After about the first minute, I turned off the phone, turned off the computer, and sat rapt before my radio. Considering the times we live in now, we need more reportage like Murrow's and more people willing to stand up to the force of our government." Listener Jim Gilmore of Orange, California, thought sound artist Ken Nordine's satire of the government's color-coded alert system went too far. He asks, "Why do you broadcast programming that simply mocks and ridicules the efforts of hard-working Americans? I now see more clearly that NPR has a political agenda, and this political agenda influences its programming and editorial decisions. This is wrong." Many people wrote in about my interview with Magistrate Judge Jacob P. Hart about his criticism of lawyers in his Philadelphia courtroom for sloppy writing. Many of the comments supported the judge's efforts, but lawyer Elisa Salisbury, who practices in Judge Hart's Pennsylvania district, offers this defense of her profession. She writes, "I will say that a big part of the problem is the sheer quantity of verbiage that attorneys generate due to the large caseloads many of us are forced to carry in the current economic environment. I am a family lawyer, and for me the creation of carefully crafted prose was a luxury." And a couple of corrections. In reporter John Nielsen's piece about the Superfund program, he quoted Julie Walk as an activist with the group Public Citizen. She, in fact, works for the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. And this next correction comes with happy birthday wishes to listener Sarah McGettrick. We surprised her last Thursday with a little slip-up at the top of our broadcast. We got the date wrong. She wrote, "Thanks, NPR, for kicking off my birthday week. Although it's only March 4th, hearing that it's Thursday, March 11th, put me in the celebrating mood." Send us your emails at atc@npr.org, and please tell us where you're from and how to pronounce your name.